Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled Taking Responsibility for Our Own Sanctification. In the previous article in this series, I laid out, as well as I could, the dynamic partnership between us and the Holy Spirit, showing how, because He lives inside us, our connection with Him is seamless. It seems at times as if we are living this life on our own, but that is never the case. Learning to believe in and lean on His presence and power is one of our greatest challenges and adventures. In this article, I will focus more on how we must take personal responsibility for our walk with God. God never encourages passivity. Let me read Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's from the New American Standard Bible. Even though the Holy Spirit, our helper, lives in and through us, our relationship with Him is a dynamic union and partnership that requires us to be active and engaged. Paul wrote in the above passage that we are to actively present our bodies to God. We do this because our bodies are the part of us that is still linked to Adam, which Paul described as a body of death or a body of sin. And you can read about this in a previous article. The body is not evil, but it is linked to sin and death as a result of being still under God's judgment against Adam's sin. The flesh describes its pull toward sin and independence from God. In order to counter this, we are told to actively present our bodies to God for His service. Another passage that says this is Romans 6, 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Passivity can allow sin to master us, to defeat sin and the pull of the flesh on a daily basis. After reckoning or considering that we are dead to its power through justification, Romans 6, 4 through 7, we are instructed to partner with the Spirit to fight by adopting an aggressive posture of actively offering ourselves, our bodies, our minds, and our lives to the Lord for His service and glory. Another passage that says this is Galatians 5, 16 through 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And then he goes on to list the attributes of fleshly sin and then those of the Spirit, and he concludes in verse 24 by saying, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. The above passage tells us to actively walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and puts on us the responsibility to crucify the flesh. We have already been crucified with Christ, Romans 6, 6, but we must take responsibility to put the pull of the flesh to death every day by denying ourselves the right to go our own way, and by choosing to trust and rely on God's indwelling Spirit to help us. Romans 8, 12 and 13 reads, "So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live." When we do this, we will discover that God's grace comes alongside to empower us. God helps us as we seek to obey Him and as we rely on God's indwelling Spirit. Grace never encourages us to be passive or idle when it comes to our sanctification. Rather, it produces works of faith which validate or prove the Christ life that indwells us. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than them all. Yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me." The Apostle Paul clearly taught that we are saved or justified by faith without having to keep the law of Moses. I hope you, the reader, are likewise convinced. If you would like to read in more depth about this important doctrine, I have an article on this website that you are welcome to read. The link is in the written version of this article. When it comes to sanctification, the ongoing daily process of transformation into Christ's image, however, we are saved, in a sense, by works. Remember, I wrote "in a sense," not "actually." Actually, God works in us what we work out in good works. Ultimately, all praise and glory will go to Him. Nevertheless, please follow along with my logic. I remember playing golf with a group of pastors years ago. I did not play very often, and I had some significant swing flaws. I was slicing my drives terribly that day, which was frustrating because I knew I could do better. After one particularly poor drive, I blurted out, "I'm not really this bad," trying to save face with my playing partners. Suddenly, I was gripped by the thought, "Yes, you are. That's why you're driving so poorly." I started laughing. I really was that bad. My driving proved it. Jesus said that a good tree is known by its fruit. This means you can tell what is in a person by what comes out of him or her. Matthew 7, 17 through 21 talks about this. And he concludes this passage by saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged in two ways. First, are we written in the Lamb's Book of Life, justified by faith? This is by far the most important criteria. Secondly, we will be judged according to our deeds. For those of us who are written in the Book of Life, our deeds will determine our reward. It is presupposed that those who are written in the Book of Life will have accompanying good deeds. Who we are will be manifested in what we do and say. Christ indwelling life will produce good fruit. Ephesians 2:10 beautifully says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And Titus 2:11 through 14 concludes by saying, "God created us and redeemed us from all lawlessness to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works." For those who are not in the Book of Life, their deeds will conform to their sinful independence from God at the core of their being, and will confirm their just condemnation to hell. Some may believe that I am somehow mixing grace and legalism when I say our sanctification is related to our works, but I don't believe I am. We must properly understand how the two work in tandem. The key to understanding the interplay of faith and works is to avoid the error of thinking that our faith can be dissociated from how we live. It cannot. According to Jesus, what we do and say clearly reveals what we believe. James, the Lord's brother, understood this well, and he expressed how the two combine to reveal the true grace of God in our lives in James 2, 14 through 18, where he said, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him?" And basically what he is saying is a faith that does not produce good works is not real. Years ago, I struggled to understand how this passage in James can be harmonized with Paul's teaching that we are saved by faith without the works of the law. It is really very simple. If we are using our performance, keeping the law, to establish or maintain a right relationship with God, which only comes by faith in the finished work of Christ, we are guilty of legalism. We cannot earn our way into God's good graces. It is a free gift. However, that being said, if our faith relationship with Christ and our partnership with the indwelling Holy Spirit does not actually change our character and behavior, it is counterfeit. A good tree will produce good fruit. We can say we believe, but our actions reveal the truth of the matter more perfectly. Talk is cheap. People can and will say anything that they believe will reap a benefit for them. Actions speak louder than words. Another way to put this is that if our doctrine about grace does not result in our being obedient to God, it is a false gospel. The goal of the true gospel is obedience that arises from faith, according to Romans 1, 1 through 5. Professing Christians who show no apparent change in their lifestyle as a result of their faith in Christ should question the reality of their conversion. Those who do know the Lord should press forward in the quest or journey of sanctification, a lifelong process of transformation carried out by the indwelling Spirit in cooperation with our faith and obedience. 1 John 3:1 through 3 ends by saying, "Everyone who has the hope of Christ's return and being with him in them purifies himself just as he is pure." Those whose faith and hope are rooted in Christ and who know the power of the indwelling Spirit are responsible to God to purify themselves, which means we cooperate with God by actively participating in the ongoing transformation process called sanctification. We do our part and God does his. We cannot passively expect him to do everything. That would be irresponsible.